Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, July 24th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XXII, the foreword to the third edition, the first paragraph, which begins with "By March 1976, we'll be reading through four paragraphs, ending with sharing experience, strength, and hope. Commenting on all those four paragraphs. Today's readers are Pam M., who will be reading the 12 steps, Marilyn T., who will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Lynette P., Jordan L., and Julie E. B. The share ID for Thursday, July 23rd, is 15,034. That's 15034. This morning's Friday, July 24, 7 a.m. Eastern Time share ID is 15,039, 15039. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Don B. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'd like to ask Pam M. to read the 12 steps, please. Pam, star one to unmute.
Blessed morning, everyone. This is Pam M. in upstate New York. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove all our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice our principles in all our affairs. Namaste. I'm looking forward to hearing your shares.
Thank you, Pam M. Marilyn T., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Yes, thank you. This is Marilyn T., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in California. The 12 traditions of OA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement of OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, OA should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other media of communication, public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Marilyn T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page XXII, the foreword to the third edition, beginning with the first paragraph by March 1976. We'll be reading through 4 paragraphs, ending in sharing experience, strength, and hope, and commenting on all 4 paragraphs. So, good morning, Lynette P. If you could get us started, please.
Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning to everybody. This is Lynette P., recovered in Southern California. Foreword to third edition. By March 1976, when the edition went to the printer, the total worldwide membership of Alcoholics Anonymous was conservatively estimated at more than 1 million, with almost 28,000 groups meeting in over 90 countries. Surveys of groups in the United States and Canada indicate that AA is reaching out not only to more and more people, but to a wider and wider range. Women now make up more than one-fourth of the membership. Among newer members, the proportion is nearly one-third. 7% of the AA surveyed are less than 30 years of age, among them many in their teens. The basic principles of the AA program, it appears, hold good for individuals with many different lifestyles. Just as the program has brought recovery to those of many different nationalities, the 12 steps that summarize the program may be called Los Doce Pasos in one country, Le Douze Étapes in another, but they trace exactly the same path to recovery that was blazed by the earliest members of Alcoholics Anonymous. In spite of the great increase in the size and the span of this fellowship, at its core, it remains simple and personal. Each day, somewhere in the world, recovery begins when one alcoholic talks with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. 1976, that was a year after I came into OA, and I was pretty young. A couple of things pop out to me, and the first is that AA reached out to a wider and wider range of people, and they spoke of, that more women were attending meetings, and I suppose it could flip for OA. I think in all of my time there have always been more women than men, but I'm so heartened to see and hear men in OA. This can be appeal, hopefully be appealing to a couple of men in my family who I hope are attracted to OA someday. And, you know, that wider and wider audience across the globe, people, I think, went in a lot of areas. And what we follow, I think, in this book gets to the heart of others who have addictions, you know, or if they are compulsive overeaters and if they're ready. I think this AA book and the fellowship transcends all and does offer that path to recovery as it did for me. It can offer it for others. And the simple and personal aspect is my step guide individually going through this book with me, and then I, in turn, go through the book with others. I'm speaking at a newcomers meeting tonight, and I pray, and I will continue to pray through the day, that my experience, strength, and hope may encourage someone to get a sponsor or a step guide and to follow this path to recovery. I hope that talking with a fellow who is struggling helps, as those conversations did with me. You know, attending meetings certainly help, and this meeting was very encouraging to me. Wow, when I first heard it. Just wonderful. But recovery, and I think lasting recovery, is really dependent on working individually with another person, you know, developing that spiritual relationship with our own higher power, whatever our concept is, and then doing the steps and continuing to work with others. That has been, using this book, you know, that has been what has really made the difference for me in the last few years compared to years prior to that. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lynette P. Okay, we're on page XXII, forward to the third edition. We're reading four paragraphs, starting with the first paragraph by March 1976, ending in sharing experience, strength, and hope. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these four paragraphs?
Christina J.
Christina
Julie
J.
E.
Reggie
O.
Reggie O.
Sherry Josie.
Sherry Josie. I can take a couple more names.
Kathy S.
Okay, I heard two. Was one Kathy?
Yes, Kathy S.
Okay, and who came in with Kathy?
Elaine Greenberg.
Donna W. Okay, I'm going to stop there. And the last person who came in, I didn't quite catch your name, but we'll hopefully get you on the next lineup. So mm-hmm. I have Christina J., Julie E. B., Reggie O., Sherry JC, if I can read my writing, Kathy S, and Donna W. If I messed any of that up, let me know. So go ahead, please. Good morning, Christina J. Go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Christina J from the state of Washington here. At its core, simple and personal, and I'm drawn to that. Diets were simple, but they were not personal. You know, there was no deep interconnection in my soul to the God in me, no connection to the God in you. There was nothing personal that I could connect with in diets inside myself, nor in sugar or junk. You know, I was always left with that deep aloneness that I started with, you know, when I started the diet. I was just desperate because I felt so gross and ugly. Fat or thin, I found out, that desperate loneliness stayed with me. So I kept coming back because somewhere along the way, maybe I was young, I don't know, seems like when I was young I lost that connection. I was never taught how to nurture it. I was given a cookie or stuck in front of the TV. And early on, I learned to fly by the seat of my pants. And, you know, and I was thinking this morning on my walk, my entire agenda all of my life has been searching for validation to prove myself. But today I don't have to do that anymore. And I'm finding freedom one day at a time, not only from the food, but that sad, lonely obsession that I'm not okay at my core. This program gives me a method, a simple program of action I'm stumbling over my words because this means so much to me, to reconnect It's simple but not easy. Why do they say that? Because we have to learn new ways to do and be and go about in the world without food. I learned that food was my friend. I used it for everything. And we are reconnecting and remembering ourselves, remembering who we are deep inside, our connection to our hearts, to God, and not to this empty, stupid addiction. You know, and I call it stupid because it is, but it taught me so much. It brought me here. It brought me to the fact that I'm lost. I need God. I need you. Why do we have somehow at the core of ourselves, why do we somehow at the core of ourselves understand that we need this? Because at least for me, there was a desperate need to reconnect to something deep inside myself and in you. I can't live in isolation and loneliness anymore. I don't want to. I don't have to. I don't have to prove anything to you. I just need to walk in love as God would have me do and be without judgments. And why did hundreds and thousands of people flock to this and keep coming back? Because inside of themselves there's something that's yearning for connection, yearning for truth, yearning for love, and not having to prove themselves and have a status or have judgments or have opinions or all that stuff that was blocking me from God. You know, we don't have to live that way anymore. And this book gives us this action plan. First, get rid of the food, and then we can start to reconnect with that bigger, glorious thing. And we got to work it every day or we lose it. So thank you for letting me share. I love you guys. Pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Or sorry, Christina J. Thank you, Christina. Okay, Julie E.B., good morning. You're up, followed by Reggio.
Yeah, thank you. Julie E.B., gratefully recovered here in Colorado Springs. And I just love, there's a couple of things in here that just speak to my heart. One of them is the idea that it's reaching out. This is not a static situation. This program is reaching out. They were proud of how it was reaching out to young people, reaching out to women. I'm glad to be one of those women touched by these steps. You know, reaching out to all the nationalities of the world. It's just so easy when times are hard, when fear is there, when resentment builds, when guilt is there. It's just so hard. You know, I work with people every day who are scared, as I have the privilege of accompanying them through one of the ugliest illnesses I've ever seen, and helping them to die well. And I can't tell you how much fear there is. And the fact that these folks responded to the fear in their life, the resentment in their life, everything switched upside down and backwards. And the question was very simple. My experience, strength, and hope is that I can share every day that even in the midst of fear, we can be reaching out beyond our ideas. We can be reaching out beyond what we know. And for me, this beautiful fellowship is kind of like the foundation building. I mean, obviously my higher power is the foundation, but having this group is a foundation, but one with another. And I just thank all of you who have taken my calls, who have listened to my 10 steps, who have listened to my work, because one with another, there's no agenda, there's no, we're just doing the best we can imperfectly. And I just send love to everyone listening today that just feels like they're just one instead of one with another, because we need one another. And saying I need you is one of the hardest things for me to do with this disease. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, Reggio, you're up, followed by Sherry J.C. Good morning, Reggie.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen, and thank you so much for your service this morning. I'm so glad to be here with everyone on the line. It's a very powerful page here. You know, in 1976, there were more than 1 million alcoholics and 28,000 groups, and that was 44 years ago. And now there are, now there are so many groups that follow these same principles, and we're one of them. And I am like, so grateful. I'm so grateful to this meeting, A Vision for You, because we follow, it says, you know, the principles, you know, it's like we're here At its core, it remains simple and personal. Recovery begins when one, and I'll change this, when one compulsive overeater talks with another compulsive overeater, sharing experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, we do that in a big way, but, you know, millions and groups all over the world and different countries. And that, but it's, and it's also one by one, you know, we do it individually. And sometimes that, you know, that the message, you know, the message comes across sometimes one by one, even in a group. I get so much from everybody that shares in here, one person, and I'm one person. I don't see you all, but I'm getting the message. And I'm so grateful, you know, it says that, I can't remember where it is in here, but it talks about, you know, the principles which hold good for individuals, of hold good for all individuals, you know, and there's a principle for every step. And I have them written in the front of my big book, and someone mentioned them earlier in the week. There's a principle for each step: honesty, hope, faith, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, discipline, love, perseverance, spiritual awareness, and service. And you know, when I go back and look at those, it gives me a guideline to live my day, and to remember, always starting with honesty. You know, that's the core, that's the first principle. And you know, in the message, we have one primary purpose: to carry the message, whether it's one by one, whether it's the group carrying the message. I so appreciate the message that Vision for You carries, you know, that we carry the message that you can, anyone can, recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And then each day, you know, I get the chance to listen to you individually. I get the chance to talk to individuals on the phone, to work with sponsees, to work with a sponsor. It's a really, it's really an amazing way to live. And, you know, at its core, you know, the spirit, the principles are spiritual. And a friend of mine in the program, you know, talks about the Trinity, which it's me, it's one person with another human being and with God, you know, a God of our understanding. That's what makes it work. And the 12 steps, you know, it's not just coming together, it's coming together with the message and the working of the 12 steps. You know, those are where the spiritual principles and the recovery is found. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Richie O. All right, we have Sherry J.C. followed by Kathy S. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Sherry J.C., recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. Thank you so very much, and thanks to everybody making the meeting possible this morning. I'm really grateful. I'm focusing on this last part: each day somewhere in the world, recovery begins when one alcoholic talks with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. The cool thing about having the big book on my Kindle is that I can do searches by words. And I was curious, like, where else does experience, strength, and hope occur in the book, big book? Maybe I didn't type it in right, but it looks to me that this is where it appears. This is the only place that those exact words, sharing experience, strength, and hope, appear. But yeah, it's so much part of our vernacular, right? I mean, from the time I ever came in, I heard people talk about share your experience, strength, and hope. And I can remember, you know, I came into Overeaters Anonymous in Detroit, Michigan in 1989, and I've been, by the grace of God, abstinent since that time, and working this spiritual program of recovery since that time until the last 4 or 5 years, where I started falling away. I was abstinent, but I was falling away from the spiritual practice. And by last November, my bottom was falling off and my life was falling apart, literally and figuratively. And I found Vision for You, and it has totally revolutionized my program and brought me back to my higher power, myself, to all of you. I'm just so grateful. But, you know, I am reminded of when I first came into the program, I had struggled with food since I can remember. My dad has home movies before there were even handy cams back in, I was born in 1962. I have home movies from the late 1960s of me, you know, crying, upset. My mom hands me some food and I'm like happy as a clam, you know. And it's like maybe a lot of young children are like that, but for me it was different. You know, it's like all of us. I mean, I couldn't handle the buildup of human emotion that many people can handle. And I had to somehow damp it down with food. And it got to the point where I was out of control and it was dominating my life until it was destroying me. And, you know, when I first came into the program, I heard a woman say in Detroit, Michigan, I heard her say that she hadn't eaten a certain thing that happened to be my binge food, too, one of my many binge foods. And she said she didn't even want it anymore. And I thought, how'd she get freed up from this prison? Like, because I had dieted since, you know, I was probably early teens. But I'd never, ever gotten to a point where it was like, I didn't want it anymore. Maybe I'd have like a brief moment of reprieve. I'd think, oh yeah, great, I'm over it now. It always come back with like a fear, like even worse than before every time. And then I'd be out of control again. So in that meeting, I guess because I had tried so many things always for myself, I always had wanted to like lose the weight. I'd wanted to be a normal person, to not feel like I was like this secret vampire, like people didn't realize that on my insides they were all eating normally, but I was wanting to like binge my brains out. Like, you know, the big book says we live a double life, and I had always wanted to be more normal that way, but I never wanted to do it for someone else. And, you know, this whole idea of sharing our experience, strength, and hope, it was when I started focusing on, you know, if I maintain recovery, then I can share that with somebody else. And that made all the difference for me, and it still does. And I thank you all so very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry Josie. Okay, Kathy S., you're up next, followed by Donna W. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Kathleen. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. And just so grateful to be a part of this fellowship and to be just to be here today and saying the word recovered with my name in the same sentence. It's like, what? But I can totally, what really pops out for me in this reading today was just the words basic and the word simple and personal, and how it really stands out to me today in recovery, because I was anything but that in my disease. Always trying to overcomplicate everything. And you know, the recovery, what's so cool is that, you know, even in our own fellowship, we come, not only is it, are we different races, nationalities, but we have different compulsive overeating behaviors and different foods that we identify as alcoholic foods. And, you know, some of us have to lose weight, some of us don't, or we have to gain weight. And yet what applies for all of us at the core is a program that is simple and personal. And I loved how I learned just this morning, another way to see personal, of course, is going on with working with another compulsive overeater. But also for me, the word personal also is my personal program. You know, I have a food plan that works for me. I have my alcoholic foods that I identified and put down. And then even, you know, there's so many different ways to work each of the steps. Like I have found 10, 11, and 12 can be very complicated at times when I'm like, I get different inputs about a 10th step that I give away. And somebody says, well, I often say this prayer and that. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, am I doing it wrong? And I get all back up into obsession. And then I realize, you know, this is like I have learned with my food plan, I have to learn what are my triggers, what gets me compulsive. And it's my shirt. These are my clothes that I put on every day and work my program of recovery as far as the little nuances go. And, you know, and today, you know, it feels right. You know, I give away a 10th step in a way that works with me, that helps me do its purpose, basically, which is to clear away the wreckage, make any amends, but give it away and then go be of service. And, you know, and it's personal. And so it's something livable and workable. And the miracle is that today I feel comfortable being me. And learning to express that freely, and that I'm not wrong just because I'm different. I'm just me, you know, and it's such an amazing experience. And I just thank you all for your love and fellowship. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Kathy S. Okay, before I take Donna W., I just want to let everyone know we're on page XXII, the forward to the third edition. The first paragraph, by March 76, we were reading and commenting on four paragraphs ending with sharing experience, strength, and hope. And I'll be taking some more names after Donna W. So good morning, Donna. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. This is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California. Gratefully abstinent and in recovery today, and so grateful to be here. And it's just amazing that we have this phone meeting in place for these times. Like, you know, it's just seamless for me because I've been calling into this meeting for a long time. And, you know, we hear lots of different accents on this call and people calling in from all over the world, which is just amazing. And I've had the opportunity when traveling all through the states. I've gone to OA and AA meetings all around the U.S. And I've been to OA meetings in London and Paris, and I'm sure a few other places I can't remember right now. But it's just amazing. Like, wherever I am, I walk in. I was doing a lot of some business traveling to Boston and going to a few meetings, not regularly, but I had been a few times, and I started to kind of get to know people. And, like, wherever I go, I'm home. I mean, that is just amazing. And there's people who want to talk to me. And, you know, I always get really nervous, like, oh, where's the meeting? Trying to find it. Oh, God, it's in the basement. And, you know, trying to find it is always just nerve-wracking. Or, you know, I'll call the contact and they're immediately, I'm part of a family. I mean, that's just, there's nothing else like that. And then from the numbers perspective, I'm sure if you look at OA, we're at least 75% female, if not more. So that's interesting. And then also I meet people from all walks of life, all ages. You know, I'm so blessed. And back in the old days when we used to get to go out and about, you know, I just see people that I knew from program. I'd smile and wave or say hi, and you know, the people I would never cross paths with anyway. So that's just a real blessing that I get that. And then, you know, from a personal perspective, I go to meetings. And, you know, I'm in the, you know, one of my largest character defects is self-pity. And the poor me, oh, this and that. And then I can go to a meeting and hear someone going through something that helps me be grateful for my life, or is going through something that, you know, I'm going to go through one day and I can learn from them. So just really grateful that that this program is not just about me. And I get to learn from folks all over the world and then connect with people without a pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna W. Okay, we're on page XXII, forward to the third edition. The first paragraph by March 1976, reading through four paragraphs, ending in sharing experience, strength, and hope. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on these four paragraphs?
Patricia
M.
Heather W.
Okay, I heard Patricia. What's your initial, Patricia?
Me.
Patricia P.
Elaine G.
P.
Larry,
okay, and then I heard Larry.
Larry G.
What's your
Elaine G.
Larry, hold on, Elaine. Larry, what's your first initial? Of your
Larry,
last name.
And last name is G.
G. G. Okay, thank you, Larry. And I think someone came in between Larry and Elaine.
Heather W.
Leandra McCart.
Heather. That's what it was. Heather W.
Yeah,
and then who
K.
came in after? Say that again.
Darian K.
Darian K.
Yep.
Okay.
Leandra M.
Jordan L.
Okay. Who came in before Jordan L?
Leandra M.
Leandra M. Okay. I just love that everyone's excited to share. Okay. So here's what I have: Patricia P., Larry G., Heather W., Elaine J., Darian K., Leandra M., and Jordan L. So go ahead, please, Patricia P.
Yeah, my name is Patricia P., and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm not quite sure what I really want to say, but I've been listening to Vision for a long time, and I have been in recovery, but I've been really afraid to share on the Vision line. And you know, what I want to talk about is the fourth paragraph where it says, at its core, it remains simple and personal. And I think my fear around, you know, the sharing is my perfectionism, because I listen to people talk all the time, especially on this line, and everybody is so elegant. And everybody, you know, when I listen to you all, I go, oh, my God, I could, you know, it doesn't come out of my mouth like that. It feels like it comes out very jumbled when I say things. And so, you know, my perfectionism and my fear kicks in, and it's like, well, I have nothing to add. I have nothing, you know, to give. And what I'm learning more and more, especially, you know, with the help from my sponsor, and is like, I do have something to give, that my program and is valid, and my journey is valid. And, you know, that it may come out jumbled and bumbled, but I do have something to offer, and it may not be for everybody, but, you know, it's my journey. And so that probably came out all bumbled and jumbled, but, you know, I just you know, I need to get past the fear of the perfectionism, because that's what kills me all the time. So thank you for listening to that, and I'm just here and sharing my experience, strength, and hope. Thank you.
And thank you, Patricia M. Okay, good morning, Larry G. You're up, followed by Heather W. Star one to unmute, Larry.
Good morning. This is Larry G. from California. This call just rocks. It's just amazing. This last line, every day, somewhere in the world, recovery begins when one alcoholic talks with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. It just gives me goosebumps to think that right at this very moment, there are hundreds of thousands of people around the world doing what we're doing right now. One alcoholic to another, one compulsive eater to another, sharing their experience, strength, and hope, studying, reading out of the big book. I never in my wildest dreams thought prior to May 17th that I could have the kind of abstinence I have today. Been in AA for 39 years and have not taken a drink. I have a successful recovery. And I've studied the big book. My big book's falling apart. It's been highlighted in five or six different colors. I've got the margins. I have the margins written in. I never thought for a moment that I could use this big book in the way I've used in my AA recovery to have freedom from compulsive overeating. And I do today. Thank you to my sponsor. I have a vision for you, sponsor. This woman has a tremendous amount of integrity, and I've been humbled by her knowledge and her passion and how she has studied and how she's applied the big book in her life. And I am too today, and I'll share with you real quickly, and I'll stop talking. I have discovered through the big book that the plan of eating is just not a tool. I thought of the plan of eating as a tool for the 30 years I was in Overeaters Anonymous. And today, through the third step, I see it as a contract with God. And now today, when I set my plan of eating, it has some meat, and it has some teeth behind it. In the past, it was just a tool. I could use the tool if I wanted to or not. But today, the plan of eating is a contract with God. I have an agreement with God. And am I going to eat 5 olives as I promised, or am I going to eat 10? That's a contract with God. I want to break that contract. So thank you, Big Book. That lesson I have learned by studying it in the last 60-plus days. Thank you. I'm out.
Thank you, Larry G. Okay, Heather W., followed by Elaine J. Good morning, Heather.
Hey, y'all. Good morning. This is Heather W., recovered here in Baltimore. So grateful to be on the line. You know, I read the third edition with my sponsees. But I just, you know, it's like, wow, just listening, I've learned so much more and can share so much more with them. And this page, I mean, it speaks directly to me. It really is me. I came into program at 21 years old. I was a young Black girl. I came into the rooms. I looked around. No one looked like me. Everyone was probably 20 or so years older than me. But you know, the experience, strength, and hope they shared, it was my story. They were sharing, saying out loud my deepest, darkest secrets, saying they did the things with food that I was so ashamed of and had to think I was the only person in the world doing them. You know, but I want to convict everyone, let's make sure we're still reaching out to a wider and wider range, just like it says here. You know, if we look around our meetings and everyone looks the same, or everyone's the same gender, or everyone's the same age, let's think, what can we do to reach out to a wider and wider range? Because this disease, as we all know, is no respecter of your age, your race, where you're from, your income, it does not matter. And I'm still pretty young, you know, generally than everyone. I'm 29. I'll be 30 this year. And I hear all the time, oh, you're so young. Yes, but this disease, had I not found the program when I did, I would be dead. You know, age is nothing. Yes, I'm young, but when young people come in, let's not think that they haven't been, you know, beat to a pulp with the disease, because it only took 21 years for this disease to only kill me, you know, before I came in. And the last thing I'll just share is, as so many people have said, you know, that bottom sentence, it's just the importance of step 12. You know, we're only in the forward to the third edition, and the big book is already talking about step 12 so many times, you know. So just how important it is that we get the word out to a wider and wider range of people. So thanks for letting me share, and I will pass.
Thank you, Heather W. Okay, Elaine J., you are up next, followed by Darian K. Good morning, Elaine.
Hi, this is Elaine. And that's not J, but it's G.
G. Okay. Thank you, Elaine. Thank you.
Okay. You know, I wondered this year, I had a big birthday, this, you know, 70. And with this pandemic, I said, oh, God, this is some birthday. My birthday was July 7th, right? But meanwhile, I realized I got a big gift. That this year, I finally get into the big book. Got a big book sponsor, just got it yesterday. And I'm going to really learn this big book. And it's going to change my whole entire life, you know? I mean, like, for one thing, yesterday I got the big book sponsor. And she said to me, well, you know, like, I'll speak to you at 2 o'clock. She was from Illinois. And we'll talk for an hour on the big book. I says, wow, a whole hour. And we'll go through it, and I'm going to learn. She's going to teach me. I'm going to teach her about the big book. And I'm going to stay abstinent. And, you know, doing the work, I realized doing the work, I can stay abstinent. Now, yesterday, I was very tired because the night before, for some crazy reason, I was listening to the news on TV all day. I was doing this, got depressed and went to sleep at 7:30. And I was up all night. But anyway, because I woke up at 10:30. But I realized, I was reading the doctor's opinion, how I could relate this big book to my compulsive overeating. And I didn't even think about it once, about compulsive overeating, because I was busy. I was busy reading. I was busy. I told myself that with God's help, that with lack of sleep, I got to keep busy. So I kept busy. I did the work, you know, writing down my food, my gratitude and action plan for my other sponsor, and work for my a big book sponsor, reading the doctor's opinion. Now, I also want to say is that what's given to me, I must give away, or else I'm not going to stay abstinent, you know? And it's all about one OA or helping another, you know? Because we came in here desperately because, I know I did, because physically, I could hardly walk. Physically, I was obese. And then beside that, my life was so unmanageable. I mean, like, I was depressed. I was sluggish. I could hardly walk. My attitudes were bad. Now, just in one day, I woke up this morning, abstinent, and I was, like, ecstatic. Because I haven't been abstinent in God knows how long. You know? Excited to really get into this big book. And, excuse me, it's over?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, Elaine G. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have three people left and not quite enough time. So if you any of you are willing to cut your shares a little short, we might be able to get to all of you. So Darian and Kate, go ahead, and you'll be followed by Leandra M. Good morning, Darian.
Good morning. This is Darian K. from the Berkshires in Massachusetts. Oh, so grateful to be on the line. Listening to the different people that have shared so far, I get experience, strength, and hope from all of you, whether it's one day from this prior share or years. It's just keeping me grateful and abstinent. It's amazing, amazing. I mean, it's just amazing how it works. It's like that ripple effect when you throw a pebble in the water, and it just reaches out further and further and further, and it just still blows my mind. I came in 1986, you know, and my first sponsor, that's exactly what she did. She shared her experience, strength, and hope, and, you know, I looked at her, and she was tall and thin and young, and I wasn't going to get tall, but you know, the thin was possible, and I was young at that time, too. I was 24, and, you know, had a lot of life ahead of me, and boy, am I grateful that I found program. It has walked me through so much, and, you know, today, which is amazing, I happened to get a sponsee that's a young person, and, you know, she's, you know, maybe a year older than I was when I first came in, and so now I'm sort of, like, reliving that experience, strength, and hope that I had, you know, been given initially. And so we shared a lot yesterday how wonderful it can be to come in and have high hopes of the future with this program in hand. And, you know, it can walk us through anything. And, you know, I shared some of the things, and it's joys and it's sadness, and it's even neutrality, you know, that we can get through without picking up the food and picking up this big book and picking up the steps and the tools and reaching out to our fellows, you know, in this meeting, this beautiful, healthy OA meeting that I have a gift. I get to open this gift every day. It's just beautiful. So that's all I'll share, and have a lovely weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, Darian K. Okay, Leandra M., you're up, followed by Jordan L. Go ahead, Leandra.
Hi, this is Leandra M. from Southern California. I'm on a walk, and my battery just flashed at me that I am about ready to die. So if I go blank, it's because my battery just died. But I just wanted to take a quick minute to thank everybody. I've been on the call for about a month now, and after my first time on the call, I lost count at about 16 people who reached out via text and call, and I just want to tell you what a difference that made for me, like right out of the chute, having that kind of support on this journey. I am just really, really grateful. I'm grateful to my God Squad and Tanda, Kathy, and Michelle, if you're out there on this call this morning. I just want to tell you I'm so appreciative of having you in my life, and it's crazy that we're strangers, but we're so connected at the same time, and we're friends now. And thank you to my sponsor, who is getting me through step 2 and 3 right now. I am really grateful for this journey. I've been trying to do OA since 2015, and this is the first time that I really have a tremendous amount of hope that I'm not going to be stuck in my addiction for the rest of my life. This week, I've had opportunity to share my limited experience, strength, and hope already with two fellows that one of them texted and wanted the line. She may be on the call this morning. So I'm just excited to see that not only do I get to get better, but I get to help other people get better. So it's a privilege. I just am appreciative for each one of you. And lastly, I just want to thank God, because He's been with me my whole life, but I've never opened my life up to my food to Him in this way, and letting Him come in and do for me what I can't do for myself. So not only did He save my life, He's going to save me from my addiction. Thank you all so much for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Leandra M. Okay, Jordan L., you have a minute and a half. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Kathleen. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And super stoked to be on the line with you guys this morning. This meeting just like melts my heart, which was pretty icy when I came in a couple of years ago. So I'm really grateful that you guys get up and we do this every morning. A couple of people have mentioned it already, but I just wanted to like give a shout out to young people and coming in here at a younger age. Not to say that it's like harder or easier or anything like that, but just that being a part of this program now, I want to make sure that there is a place that everyone can come no matter what, right? Because the people that are coming in at this like younger age, even if they don't stick around, they'll probably end up back here eventually, right? And that's like the future of this fellowship. That's who's going to be carrying this message 10 and 20 and 30 and 40 years from now, you know, hopefully. That's the idea, right? So again, thank you for being on the line with, for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Jordanelle. Okay. Thank you, everyone who shared this morning. A special thanks to Team Friday, Marilyn T., Pam M., Lynette P., Jordan L., Julie E. B., Kaylee R., and Don W. Thank you all for your service this morning. Okay, so we are going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Jordan L., would you please read A Vision for You? Jordan, are you there? Julie E.B., do you want to read A Vision for You?
Hey, Kathleen. Sorry, I got muted.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Jordan.
Can you? Okay, cool. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.